Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of our listeners on today. Yes, you are now tuned into Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Dr. Norma Chapman. As always, listeners, let's bow our heads for our opening prayer. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to go forth on today, praying, Father God, that we be able to bless someone out there that's in radio land, Father God, that need to hear what our special guest has to say on today. We pray that it would help them in any way we can. Father God, we pray that they would get understanding out of what is being said on the air on today. We thank you for our guest, Father God. We thank you for all our listeners on today, Father God. As we go forth, Father God, we pray that all that we say and do would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, that you may get the glory out of all that we do and say. This is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, listeners, we do have an awesome show prepared for you on today. And our topic for today is bullying. Yeah, when you're being bullied by someone and someone wants to be in control or wants to always have you to feel that they're in control of everything that you do and get upset when you don't do things their way and they want to bully you around. So today's topic is about bullying, and our special guest on today, which I'll be bringing into the studio with me live in a few minutes as we go forward on today, we have our special guest, Mr. Steve McCallister, that's in the studio with me on today, and I will be bringing him in shortly after I give you a little detail about what our show is about on today. Today we'll be discussing the topic bullying, and the guest going to share his story about how he grew up being bullied and a lot in school, church, and yes, he says even in his home he was being bullied. He also shares with us, he also will explain that he never thought he would have to put up with such bullying in his own family, but he did, and he experienced a lot and went through a lot. And I'm not going to give too much more details about his topic because I want to bring him to the studio live with us now, none other than Mr. Steve McCallister. And with you, good afternoon to you on today, Mr. Steve. How are you?
Good, ma'am. How are you?
I'm okay. Can you tell us a bit about yourself? Give us a little short bio about yourself.
Sure. My name is Steve McCallister. I'm originally from the Detroit area, Pontiac, Michigan, and I now reside in Branson, Missouri with my wife of 24 years. And I've been all over. I'm disabled. I'm a veteran of the Navy, and I didn't serve too long in there. And as you well know in the story or in the presentation I'll be given, that will give you a good idea of why I didn't stay in too long. But praise the Lord that I got through everything that I did.
Wonderful, wonderful. We are happy to have you. We're overexcited to have you on our show on today, and we're not going to prolong the time, Mr. Steve. We want you to get right into your presentation on today and share with us what it is, what it's like to be bullied. I mean, can you just describe that before you get into your presentation? What do you actually mean about bullying, by being bullied? What is your actually you're saying to our listeners about that?
Well, bullying to me basically has been, you know, when somebody sees that you're different than they are and they are smaller, you're smaller than that person, whether you're weak or you're in height smaller. And I think that's when they know that you're a target for them to pick on you. And that's the way I felt. I felt like small. Even though I was at their height, you know, I still felt small, because when they bully, there's something going on that you're not aware of in their life, and I don't think they understand either. But I think they they bully you because they just need somebody to pick on, and or whether it's verbal or physical. And, you know, it does hurt, you know, that old saying of sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. Well, the sticks and stones you can get over with, but the mental or the psychological and emotional scars, they're going to be with you, could be for the rest of your life, but they certainly don't go away. And when you have somebody, even in your own family, that, see, you try to get away from that from school, but then when you have it in your home, your church as well, then it seems like you're surrounded. And for some reason, I was that victim. And
yes, sir. Well, can you share with our listeners, and I don't mean to just butt in, but I wanted to get my little questions out in the beginning, so when you do get into your presentation, I won't have to interrupt you. But what was the worst, you think, Wilton, that you experienced in the home, school, or in the church? And I do want to talk about the issues of you going through being bullied in the church. In what way was that? Was you felt that you were being bullied
okay.
in the church? But can you share with our listeners on that?
Sure. In the church, like I said, you know, you wouldn't expect it there because that's supposed to be a safe haven. But, you know, when you're a little kid or you're a young kid in a junior church age group and they're, like I said, you're different than they are, or that you grew up in a different way than they did, they just that you're that target. And so in church, kids are going to be kids, but, you know, it's still they verbally would call me names, and sometimes they would push me around physically, but it was the name calling. It was the school and at home that there was more physical than there was emotional. But I think emotionally when you're in church, you don't expect it, but then you go to tell their parents, as your kid would. The parents sometimes don't won't do anything because, oh, they're just, they're young, they'll get over it. Well, it's still, and they don't do anything. A lot of times the parents won't do anything because you're a kid. But as a teenager, see, it also happened to me as a teenager. And mm-hmm. then that gets more serious.
Then let me ask you, what can you share with us? What type of name calling? Was that something different about you that was didn't show with other children? Or why would they feel it? Why would they just pick on you or try to bully you because you was a low-profile person or you was easygoing? Or what was it about you that made them do?
It was crippling. I wasn't sure what was wrong, but I did limp a lot, and I was a slow learner in school, but then the kids that I went to school with were also at my church. And so that spread around to the church kids that didn't go to my church. And
okay.
So because I was a slow learner, then that the name calling was you're a retarder or retard, you're a retard, or you just, you're a slow learner, but it was mainly the retard and your mommy and your daddy didn't take care of you, you know, that type of thing.
Uh-huh. So it was like a community thing that kids that you was in your community as well, and then when you went to school with them, to the same school and in the same church. So they just kept doing bullying you in everywhere that you were and they were present, and this is something that they just kept doing. Well, what if the leaders at the school or the leader at the church, what did they do to try and control the situation to keep you from being a subject to such abuse? I call it abuse. You know what I'm saying. What did they
right.
do?
Right, and I do too. the teachers did have a teachers' meeting, and they brought me in, and they brought my parents in, and they had a teachers' meeting. And what they tried to do is they tried to find the cause of what was going on. They didn't know. In fact, a lot of them didn't even know I had something wrong with me. Some of them did, and one of them ended up saying, well, maybe he needs to go into a special ed room or a room to where he can be where that would help. And so my mom and dad said, well, let's give you to a psychologist. And so the leaders got together and told my mom and dad that they need to bring a school psychologist in to test me. And that's mm-hmm. what they thought would do. Well, this was the school I'm talking about. And so they brought this psychologist in to talk to me. Well, then all of a sudden the kids got aware that somehow they got around this room and there's a window that they could peek in. And they were making faces. I wasn't trying to concentrate, but I was a kid. I couldn't tell, or I couldn't help it. But then when I left the room, then I got pushed in to another room, and I was beat up for it.
Oh, my God.
Now, the
God.
Church, yeah, the church, what the deacons got together, just like the teachers did, but the deacons did something about it. They really tried to get with the parents, and they ended up saying, enough's enough. We've got to do something about this. This young man does not deserve this. And so they did what they could, and the parents of those kids were called into the office, into the pastor's study, and they were counseled, and they were told, hey, your boy is picking on young Stephen here. It needs to stop. You need to do something about it. And yeah, they would punish them, you know, the kids, but then, you know, they got to go to school. They weren't suspended, but they went to school, and then it got worse. It got to the point where they were pushing me down into this big crater or hole that we had as kids, sliding down with slides and everything. Well, in the springtime, there was a lot of bushes and a lot of things like that. Well, that's what happened was is on the way home from school, I only lived a couple blocks, but then I never really made it home except my clothes were torn. So it was between the church when you're a kid and the school as a kid. As a teenager at church, then the fighting stopped, and it was more of a verbal abuse where I was I wasn't called a slow learner. They just thought, oh, it'd be fun to pick on me. And it was the kids, same kids, but we all grew up. And the fighting stopped, but the name-calling started. You know, it was the retard. You don't belong in this class. You need a special class. By the way, going back to the special ed, I did go there, but the teacher said, you're too smart to be in here. You know, you need to be in another room where you can take tests. And that's what happened. I was so nervous. I was chewing on pencils at school down to the lead. And because I was afraid to go out for recess, and because I told the teacher, I don't feel very good. I don't feel like going out for recess. Well, they had a recess person, I guess, out in the outside trying to keep an eye on the kids and stuff. And it got to the point where I ended up in the principal's office with a bloody lip, and it was out of control there for a little bit. And so then at home, I didn't know if you wanted me to go to the part where I was at home yet, but.
Let's have two more questions in reference to the school and the church. You know, at the church, try to do something about it, but my concerns are, why didn't your parents, was there another school you can go to, or was it something that then you can get into what was happening at home with you as well? But you coming home with a busted lips and your clothes all torn and scratches everywhere where they'd push you into bushes, and I'm quite sure it hurt. You know what I'm saying? Then you're afraid to get up. You have to walk to school. You have to come from school, you have to face these same people, children, every day for so many years. I mean, you know, Stephen, you know, just thinking about it, you know, I can imagine all of our listeners, and I'm more than sure that they can feel what I'm feeling. right now with a person that has to say such horrible actions every day of their lives. You see what I'm saying? And can I just ask you, how old were you when it stopped at the school and at church? And then we'll get into what's going on and what was happening in your home.
Okay, when did it stop?
At school, yeah. You mean you went through the entire school?
I did not. I left there in the fourth grade, and I ended up going to another school for that special ed class. And then after I was told, after a year of being in there, then I was put into another school. But then during test time, I left my regular classroom and went into this other room, which they called LRC, or Learning Resource Center. And by the time I got to the third school, which is in about fifth grade, then things calmed down a little bit. It started calming down where I didn't have that problem anymore. It was in the neighborhood that it, I also dealt with it at home. When I say home, it was in the neighborhood as well. And as far as school, that calmed down and stopped. Basically, when I got into the fifth and sixth grade, it leveled down. But it continued in the community or in my neighborhood as well as my home. And at church, it kind of leveled off too, because I just stayed there through high school. So by the time I got to junior high and high school, it had stopped. But my parents, my mom did what she could to try to stop things. And my dad, all they did was try to stop things in the elementary area. But then as I got older, then it continued in my home with my dad. He was the biggest bully that I had. He kind of took over from the kids at the school. He more or less was verbal as well as physical. He would almost treat me like a slave, as though I was out in the garden a lot of times pulling weeds. He would make me take the scissors, not scissors, but those clippers and grass instead of mowing the grass. One day he was mad at my sister for some reason, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah, it was because she named my nephew, her firstborn, Jamie, which he thought was a girl's name. And he just argued with my sister about this. And so he said, you know what, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you coming around. And so one day I was on the phone and I thought, you know, he didn't tell me not to call my sister. He just said, I don't want her coming around here and talking to us. Well, I got on the phone with my sister and was talking to her, and my dad had a phone out in the garage. He picked it up and heard me talking to my sister while he was sharpening a lawnmower blade, getting ready to cut the grass. Well, I didn't hear this, and all of a sudden I hear this boom, 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 heavy footsteps. The door swings open in my bedroom. He took a chunk out of the door with the lawnmower blade, and he started coming after me. And he took the phone away from me, threw it against the TV, busted the TV. And then I was like, what are you doing? You know, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he said, don't put your hands behind your back. And I'm thinking, you know, first of all, it's an instinct that you put your hands behind your back when your dad's going to spank you. Well, he had that lawnmower blade in his hand, and he actually, with the lawnmower blade, instead of a belt, instead of his hand, he actually whacked me in the back with that lawnmower blade, and I had my hands behind my back, and he whacked it into my hand, and I thought I lost my hand because I felt something wet, and I came around and realized my whole hand was just full of blood. And so he whacked me, and he didn't say, I'm sorry. He didn't do nothing. He was yelling at me. And so my mom heard me. She came in and was wondering what was going on. I came out and I said, I want my dad arrested. He just tried to cut my hand off, and I showed it to her. And she started crying and then got after my dad, started yelling at my dad. It just went into a big fiasco. And it didn't, I didn't go in for stitches. I should have, but I didn't, because then obviously they're going to ask, well, how did this happen?
Right.
So a lot of abuse and
Go ahead. I'll ask you when you can. Go ahead. Sir?
Yes.
I'll ask you after you finish the statement. You can finish your statement you were just saying.
Oh, I was just going to say that with being at home with that physical and verbal, it just was nonstop. That never ended. It just suddenly, it didn't seem like it never ended. And my dad didn't really care about me limping, or he didn't care about the social issues. All he wanted, if it wasn't done right, he would make fun of me if I was so nervous trying to change a tire. Now, a friend of his and a friend of mine, his son was there with, we were all standing around, and for some reason my tire went flat, or I was trying to change a tire, and I was so nervous about my dad standing there making sure I did it right, I started to put the tire on backwards. And I was, he's like, I can't believe you. You're such a retard. I can't believe that you know, the tire's on backwards. Pull that tire off. Let me do it. I can do it better than you can. And so the guy that was standing, or his friend was like, Chuck, why are you treating him that way? He just, it was on backwards. And I was shaken to begin with. And he said, there's something wrong with you. I mean, I can't believe you're a grown man, you're married, and you're treating your son as though he did something bad. He turned that thing back around on backwards because he was nervous with you hovering over him, you know, that type of deal. That was another incident that he made fun of me about. So it was just little things he would pick up and say, well, I can't believe you did that. You're so dumb. And my mouth, and I will tell you that there was an instant when I was a baby, my mouth would be open and I would drool. And I don't know, they didn't know if it was TIAs, or they didn't know what exactly was wrong with me, but I would drool. So my dad was always on me. Oh, close your mouth, you're drawing flies. What are you doing? He'd walk around with his mouth open like me and go, close your mouth. And I was like, I can't help it. And so that's just, it just went on and on. My poor mom, she lived with this man for 60 years. And it just, and he would verbally actually bully her as well in a different manner, in a different way. And we, all of us kids, watched the way he treated her. And so each one of us, we had our own bout with my dad on him not speaking to us. And I didn't speak to him for, or he didn't speak to me for 9 years.
So I
got into the Navy and that kind of stopped.
Let me ask you, how old were you when you finally left home and was able to stand on your own as a man? Or how old were you? Then I'm going to get into your marriage part after this. But how old were you actually? How old was it when you left home and you began to begin to encounter a better lifestyle, you know, better environment? I know you could have, once you get a certain age, it's your choice to stay in that church or to move to another church. You're not in school, elementary school, or junior high anymore. Now you're on into your senior high. Did you finish school? May I ask that? Some college, whatever.
Yes, ma'am. I did finish. I did graduate.
You graduated.
I was 16.
Okay. You were 16. So you're 16 years old now. You're saying enough is enough here. I can't tolerate anymore. So after you left home, were you staying with another relative? Or you begin to get a job? How did you manage to take yourself?
I did end up, after it ended, you know, things slowed down. But actually, I lived with my aunt. My aunts, bless her hearts, they were in their, I think, 70s at the time. And so I just told my dad, in fact, I will tell you, I got to back up just for a minute and tell you that I got mad at my dad because he did lock me out of the house when I was about 8 years old. And I said, well, I'm going to get attention. I don't know if I want to even live. So I busted through the window on the door to the inside of the garage. I busted my arm through the glass and I cut my arm all up, and I said, I just want to bleed out and die. That was one thing that I wanted to do. And then so I did that twice, once to the front door of the house and once to – so my dad put plexiglass in all the doors or door windows so I wouldn't be busting them out. But that happened between the age of, I would say, 8 and 10. And the neighborhood kids were just – they were so supportive in me, and they were so scared of my dad. They didn't want to even come around, not because they didn't want to hang out with me. They were just scared of him because of the way he treated me. And there was another incident with a rape where – I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you.
There was another incident with rakes where my dad told me, you're going to rake this whole yard. I don't care if it's into the night. You're going to rake this yard and pick up all the leaves. And so I'm like, okay. So I took a bamboo rake that he always used on himself, and we had two of them. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to need some help here. And so my friend Beth came over, and she said, you want me to help you? And I said, yeah, sure. Here's a rake. And so we were both raking, and all of a sudden he came out, and I thought he was coming out to say, you know, I thought, oh, he didn't look too happy. Well, what he did was is he took that rake away from my friend Beth, busted that rake, and said, I guess you got only one. I guess there's only one person to do it. Get out of here, you fat slob. She was heavy, but she, get out of here. Steve's doing this by himself. You're nothing but a fat slob anyway. And so he even broke one of his best rakes. He snapped it right in front of us over his leg and dropped it and said, okay, now continue. And so, of course, poor Beth, she was devastated. Today, she still got that in the back of her mind about how my dad treated me at that time and treated her. But she's fine. It's just the kids were devastated and how he treated me in front of them. And he would call them names and say, you don't belong in this yard. And so believe me, it was so scary there for a while. But I just, at the age of 16, I finally moved in with my aunt. Things slowed down. But then during that 9 years, he wouldn't even let my mom come down to my aunt's or to my aunt's house to visit me. She was barred from even visiting me. And so she would sneak.
If you were to put that in a category, would you also say that's a form of domestic violence as well, bullying, domestic violence, or
yes,
you know?
I did end up with PTSD.
Mental abuse, you know, that, you know, you have so many topics that I'm understanding you are writing a book in reference to your experience with bulletin or speaking out. What's the name of the book or what show that you're going to be doing a part of this book that you're writing, Speaking Up, Stand Up and Speaking Out, I think that's the name of it?
Speak Up and Speak Out. And the author is Missy Lane.
Yes.
She's a beautiful lady inside now. And she knew, I told her a little bit about my story, and she said, I need you to be one of my authors in the book. I need you to put a chapter in my book. And so that's what I'm about ready. I'm about ready to send that in. I'm done with the chapter. And it's called My Dad, or Not My Father's Son, Steps to Freedom.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. If you had to give some advice to a young boy, young girl that's devastated and going through what you went through, what advice would you give them? Would you ask them to maybe do something about the situation they're in, reach out to authorities or try to reach out to other people in their family instead of just being quiet about it? But what my understanding with you is, it was like an open thing that was going on even at the school and the church. It looked like somebody should have noticed there was something going on that in the house as well, you know what I'm saying, in your environment where you live, you know. So what my the problem that I'm having with this whole story is that why didn't someone step up and do something to help you in a situation like that? Such a young boy. from a young age, being subject to such abuse and bullying and all of these horrible things that happen from a child, then all the way through you until you're 16 years old and you finally go move with your aunt. Did life get better for you after then, or was it a better environment that you were in, or you still was hung up and you still had mental issues thinking about what had happened to you? Were you afraid to go to another school, or how did you manage it, you know, from 60? I'm talking about not back. Don't rewind. Go forward. We're forwarding it now.
Okay.
What after you're 16 years old and with your aunt, and how did life begin to get for you then? What type of environment were you in? Were you able to go to school and manage to get some relief from all of this terrible experience that you had before?
Mm-hmm. I ended up going into the Navy when I graduated. I ended up going into the Navy, and so that kind of took me away from the home situation to church situation, everything. And so that really helped, but I had to learn how to be self-disciplined, and I learned how to deal with things such as that nature of being bullied, even though it was in the Navy, but I didn't last very long because I had medical issues and that I wasn't aware of, and they told me that I had cerebral palsy like 9 months into the Navy, so they had to release me because of that, because it was something that the MEP station should have caught, but they didn't. But that didn't bother me as much as what happened when I was a kid. I was glad to get out of there, but I did learn so much by being away from the family and learning how to be self-disciplined and learning how to take better control of myself so that I could verbally not fight back, but just verbally stand up.
You're learning as well how to talk up for yourself and how to make it better. You know, Stephen, so many boys and girls are going through the same thing today as you went through years ago, right? And they just don't know what to do, especially when you – did you have any friends in your community, any friend, one friend at school, one friend in the church? You said about the young lady who your dad told to get out the yard or whatever, but you had anybody that would say, look, I'm going to stand up for Stephen. You know, I'm Stephen's friend, and I'm watching. I'm a witness to how he's being treated here. And they'd go home and tell their parents about it, and their parents would probably try to talk to your dad and your mom about making the situation better at school and at the church, because the church thing is something that I'm imagining that your parents, you had to go to church. You know, like when I was a child, they made us go to church, right, whether we wanted to go or not. But to go through such things in the Lord's house, you know, when I know the deacons tried out, but how could your father? Well, you know, I guess a lot of them saw, witness how your dad treated you, and the feeling, you know, you can tell whether a child is being loved unconditionally at home. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people afraid to interfere when it comes to someone else's child. But I'm so happy that you have the courage and the wisdom to speak out and bring your story and put the story in a book so other people can read it. Now, my next question, and then I'm going to, because it's getting late in the show, we do have some callers, right? But my next question to you is, what age were you when you finally said, I'm a man now, and I'm going to get married? Do you have any children of your own?
No, ma'am. They're in heaven.
Your kids are no longer with you. Oh, I'm so sorry. But your wife is still with you.
Yes.
Okay. So
she's been my rock.
She's been. So life began to bright. So that's where I'm going with this. Life begins to brighten up for you now, right? And life begins to
correct.
Be something you never would have imagined. I can be loved by someone. You said your children are in heaven, but you know, I don't know how old they were when they left here, but you are able to show love and receive true love, right?
Correct.
How do
yes.
you fix fear not. There is a word that is said, that called, the word is love. There is such love that a person loves you unconditionally. All of these things are possible in life. You don't have to be, you don't have to tolerate living in an atmosphere such as what you were living in before. Now you're out of that environment, and God has blessed you, and you say your wife has been your rock. Let's talk a little bit about your wife and about how life is for you today. How life is for you today.
Life is going great. I've been ordained now for 3 years. I'm also a licensed pastor and ordained. And I've been working with, I've been with, I've been working with kids and youth for the last 25 years. I'm not doing any church work right now, but I do offer my services and work with the kids at my church on Wednesdays during the WANA program in the fall and the winter. And then I'm a puppeteer. I do some puppet work, or I did. And that was with my friend Mark for the last 30 years. And so I've been, puppets were a big thing for me. It's a ministry that kids and adults alike really love to do. And it kept me busy, and it kept me, during my junior high and high school years, that's when I did. But today, my beautiful wife of 24 years, she's been my rock. She has been there through thick and thin. She actually went through a lot of this stuff with me when my dad would bully me, even as a young boy or young man. My wife would stand up to her. I've had several people stand up for me and be there, be my shield, and just say, okay, enough's enough. You need to really realize what you're doing to your son. But my wife has been there loving me and hugging me and prayed with me and to try to strengthen me through all this.
Wonderful. So what I'm hearing is your wife is one of your friends from your childhood days, right?
No. I met her when I got out of the Navy. I was here in Branson, Missouri for a while, and then I went back home to take care of my aunt who was really ill. And what happened was, is I met my wife back then at church where I was a junior church director at the time in 96. And I met her when she was 24. I was 32 at the time. And so we just started dating. In fact, June 26th of 96 is when we actually got together and started dating. And then we were married in May of 98 and been together since.
Awesome. We do have a caller, and I'm going to bring that caller in, Stephen. That caller is Arico 504, last four digits of the number is 8011. We're going to bring that caller into the studio with you. Good afternoon, caller. You're not live on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Chapman. This is Gloria Johnson. It's been brought back memories to hear some of the stories. I'm so sorry you had to go through a life of pain and suffering during your triumph as you grew into manhood. But thanks for even going into the Navy, even though it was a short time for serving our country. So I'd like to thank you for that. But I'd also like to share with you my story. I have a daughter, and she's in elementary school. And she was always bullied because she was always the tallest kid in the class, in first grade, second grade, third grade. And even the teacher, you're right, the teacher used to pick on her. And she would always make good grades. But they would always make her cry because she always stood out, the tallest kid in the class. And the teacher used to say, come on, Slowpoke, come on, Slowpoke. And then when I would go in the go and talk to her in the classroom, then she would deny it, that she didn't say it. And one little guy who happens to be a judge now in the city, he said, yes, you did, yes, you did. And the other people followed, you know, and admitted. So she was talked to by the principal, which made it worse. She put her in the back of the class and said nobody could see in front of you because you were so tall. And why are you so, just saying all kind of negative stuff to her. And then the kids would say, you must be retarded, you know, because you're taller than a giant. They said all kind of ugly and nasty things. And she would come home and she would cry and cry. But what my husband and I did at the time, we got involved with the school. I became a room mother and kind of watched the kids. And they were afraid to say anything while I was in the class. But after, you know, after she was at recess or whatever, they would say all kind of things. She would come home crying. And what he did, he got involved, you know, with the Father's Club. And then when she was in fourth grade, another kid came to the school, and that kid was tall, tall as she, and they became friends. So with the two of them being tall, it wasn't as much bullying class. So that was something that we did. We worked the school by getting more involved, and then it built her self-esteem. And then another young girl came into her class, was equally as tall as she, and they're friends today. So that stopped and cut her bullying. And whenever I did something in the church, it was no bullying. It could have been, but I had her so involved, the kids didn't have time to say anything negative, but kids are really cruel. They are cruel. They would say anything, you know, anything, anything. And then in terms of your daughter, I mean, in terms of your father, he seemed like a wacko. I don't know why your mom stayed with him so long. She probably was afraid of him, but he should have been reported a long time ago for even trying to dictate the name of your sister's child and for putting you out and all of those things. I guess when you're a kid growing up, you're afraid to mention, you know, to say those kind of things even because of fear of retaliation. But what I offer you right now is you said life is great, but it would be greater if you, I didn't hear you mention anything about the Lord. If you put Christ in your life, then things will be much better for you. And I heard you went to the church, but I didn't hear anything you did, at, you know, spiritually. At the
right.
Church.
He gave God, he like, did give God, he God thanks for bringing him out of the situation in the beginning of the show. He gave God the glory for that, and he said that he's an ordained minister.
So I must have missed that. I must have missed that, but I just say to
and
you now,
he
lean and depend.
And it's so he's doing his work,
okay.
And he's done community work. He's involved with the kids, and he's an ordained minister. Thank God for that. And then, you know, sometimes
well,
when you
I
go through a
say that.
You have to go through stuff in order to get through it.
And while you're going through it, the best thing is coming out of it. Once you come out of it,
right.
You know, that's the best thing.
As this young man started being bullied at a very early age, you see,
very
he's a little
young
boy. Going to school, and then on weekends now, you know, I don't have to. I get up in the morning, I'm bullied all the way to school, get out of school, I'm bullied in school, on my way from school. Then when I get home, I'm going through the same environment inside my house, and now he comes the weekend, time to go out, get out the house for a while and maybe go into reality, go to church, and there I am caught up in the same foolishness in church. So know where he went, where he was able to be able to have peace of mind until he got 16 years old and he moved out.
And he lived his to live. But through it all,
Well, Carla, we want to thank you for calling in today. So we want to finish our interview up with Mr. Steven, and thank you for calling. Do call back again every Thursday from 6:30, from 4:30 to 5:30 Central Time. And is there anything you want to rebuttal on with the call of Mr. Steven? Anything you would like to rebuttal on in reference to what she was saying to you?
Well, I appreciate that call. That really helped. I appreciate her concern. We found out my dad was a narcissist, and so we didn't find that out until just a few years before he passed. And so I knew that there was something wrong. Even my wife knew that there was something mentally wrong. And so he started having physical issues himself. But yes, I will tell everybody that I did forgive my father, especially before I got ordained and everything. I knew that there was something wrong, but I in my heart, and I didn't really get a chance to really say I'm sorry, other than I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry I did this. It wasn't, but I did forgive him for everything that he did to me in later years. I mean, when in his later years. And for anybody that's been bullied, you just got to trust God. If you know the Lord, trust God with your heart and lean on him, and he'll direct the path that you need to go. And remember to be strong and be encouraged, because the Lord is there. He's closer than a brother. And you just need to continue and have a prayer and get somebody that's a teacher, somebody at church that you can depend on, that you know that everything is safe with them, and just have a prayer time with them and have them wrap their arms around you and let them know that, or they need to let you know that they care. So
that's
the best way.
The most important thing that we all can do is be into the Word, you know, study the Word
right.
of God. The Bible has so much instructions in there. You know, we're never alone. You know, we're never alone. I don't care what we're going through. They got some still being bullied. They got some going through domestic violence. They got somebody that has death in their family right now. Someone on a ventilator. You know, sickness. And whatever the situation is, you know, God is still in control of our lives. But the most important thing that I was interested in bringing you on Facing Your Fears was to tell your story in order to help somebody. You know, there are people that have been was abused from their family, from home. You know, I have a girlfriend out of Jackson, Mississippi. She's been a guest on the show, No More Fisherton. You know, she would jump every time her father would pass, because this is what he would have him so afraid. And say, and every time he passed by, they thought that he was going to hit them. You see what I'm saying? She grew up in a fearful mm-hmm. situation. So there's so many situations other people has gone through, but the main important thing is to come forward, face your fears, be able to talk about them, be able to help somebody else that's going through what you've been through. And what's the most important that makes me so happy on today, at the ending, almost at the end of the show, is to know that God put happiness in your life. You did find someone, your wife, okay, who loves you unconditionally, who giving you happiness and joy. And then you can be able to live the rest of your life without being afraid or without someone talking about you or criticizing you. We all have something about ourselves that people can criticize. There's no one perfect. You know what I'm saying? But to just outright
yes,
make someone bad from the way that they look, the way they walk. But you know what? What I have to say about that is, whoever was doing you that, I'm more than sure, Steve, if they can tell you some stories what they've been through since they did you that.
because we all know you will reap what you sow. You know what I'm saying? In life, whatever you do in mm-hmm. life will come back. Come back on you, come back on your children or your grandchildren. So we want to live a life that's pleasing, acceptable to God. And Steve, I want you to remember one thing. Everything that you went through, you can count it all joy now. You can count it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
I know it wasn't the bad situation at the time, but God brings us through just to bring us out, okay? He brings us to things,
yes, ma'am.
Bring us out of situations. And now you can help somebody else. Look at it that way. I can be of help to someone else. When my book come live, my story come live, I'm on Station Seer today, and I'm more than sure, I know Miss Elaine, and Missy has been a guest on my show as well. Missy has been on the show telling her story about domestic violence. And you know where Miss Elaine came from. God brought her from out of the situation she was in. That's the same God that's in your life, Steve, is the same God that's in my life and so many others' life is out there listening Radio Land today. But I want to encourage you on today to keep God in your life. Keep the word of God in your life. Keep looking to the hills which come with your help. And don't be afraid because, you know, we may endure for a night, but joy always cometh in the morning. And I'm just so sorry you had to go through pain so many years before you finally decided to leave your home. I know you love your mom. I know you love your daddy. And it's a bad when you have to make a decision and say, that, well, my dad did this to me. My mom can do nothing about it because my dad wouldn't allow my mom. Look how many other people have been in that same situation, Stephen. But we just thank God that you have enough courage and you can be an inspiration to others out there that can hear your story. And you keep telling your story. Keep encouraging young people. Keep doing what you're doing. And God is going to bless you more and more and more to be able to go on more shows and be able to. The main thing, what I find so good about this whole situation is it can help somebody. It can help somebody mm-hmm. that's going. Children that's in school, even in their neighborhoods, even in their home, they're being bullied by their older. It don't have to be your parents. It could be their older brother and sister. You know what I'm saying? Or someone in their family is taking advantage of them. You can help them by letting them know that they don't have to stay in this type of environment. You see, Stephen, if it would have been taught years ago to you that you could have, if your mama didn't call, the neighbors didn't call, you could have called the police for yourself. They would have gotten you out of that environment. But, you know, you had to go to foster care. A lot of children are afraid to go from foster home to foster home. But there is light at the end of the day. At the end of the tunnel, there is light, you know. And we do want our children to know to not to be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to cry for help or to look for help in all the necessary places. And in law enforcement, wherever you can reach out to in order to help yourself to come out of a bad situation such as what Steve was in. So we do want to thank him for being our guest on today. And, Steve, I'm going to yield here and let you do a closing. You have like 5 minutes or so to bring a closing to your presentation and what you would like to encourage our listeners in your closing. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, friends, neighbors, and loved ones. Yes, I went through this abuse, but, you know, Satan is the author of confusion. Satan is the author of all this mess that I went through. And we just have to remember if we're, if we have the Lord in our life, and we know we do, then we need to lean on him and then also get help. Whether it's a counselor, if you need to get, actually, even if you're growing up and you're still having problems, you need to reach out to a counselor. But as a teenager, a child, you need to reach out to a counselor, somebody that you can trust to talk to, because talking it out and going to your pastor at church and tell them what's going on, just somebody reach out and talk to them because it'll make you feel better, but the Lord will be there to surround you, because it is a battle, and he's there with you throughout eternity. I thank you for listening, and, you know, I do have an email. If you would like to reach out to me, my ministry is Hands of Providence, and so it will be handsofprovidence22@gmail.com. You can reach out to me that way, or I will give my phone number, 417-593-3709, and I'd be more than happy to help any way I can, because that's what the Lord brought me here to do. And, you know, me being, it's ordination and licensing is just a title, but I do want to serve the Lord, but I want to serve the people as well and be able to help any way I can.
Beautiful, beautiful. There you have it, listeners, and we do want to thank our special guest on today. As he said, go and talk to somebody and try and let them fix it, the situation, or talk through the situation. But remember one thing, God is in control of the situation. He's already worked it out for you. Whatever the situation may be, he knows what we go through, you know, he will not put no more on us than we can bear. And sometimes we do go through situations and we're helpless with it, you know, such as children living in a domestic violence environment or children with special aid or issues, sickness. Steve, there are some kids that really does have this issue that they were claiming that you had. And there are issues out there, mentally issues that these children are being abused and even in mental institutions. You know, you'd be surprised of the stories you would get out of if you go to investigating such institutions. But I want to say to you, man, keep going, you know, keep looking to the hills. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep encouraging people. Keep talking to people. Keep telling your story. And at the end of the day, you're going to see that so many people are going to be healed just from hearing your story, knowing that, hey, I was 16 years old, but after I got a certain age, God's in my life, I got married, and now I have love. I'm being loved unconditionally. And you keep loving people. You keep doing what is good in the eyesight of God. And listeners do call back every Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30. But next week we'll have another exciting show prepared for you with another new special guest. At this time, we're going to ask that our guest close us out in our closing prayer, Mr. Steve. I'm going to let you close us out with our closing prayer for today, okay?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious love and what you've done for me and many others by coming into their life, Lord. And if there's anyone, Lord, we know that's out there that's having this problem, we know you're there to protect them and help them in any way we can. But, Lord, just bless those that are having those problems. That give them a nudge and let them know that you love them, and so that they might get the proper help that they need, Lord. And just bless Sister Norma, Lord. Just be with her ministry as she continues this blog radio, Facing Your Fears. Lord, just be with her ministry. Be with her and her family. We thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. There you have it, listeners. And remember to keep the sick and the shed in your prayers. Keep our nation, your cities and your state in your prayers. Those that are on the ventilators, asking God to bring them off of the ventilators. Those that are sick and shed in, we pray for healing. We pray for those that have a bow down head on today. And until next week, listeners, this is the end of our show. God bless you, and thank all of you for tuning in. Goodbye now.